You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on this Friday afternoon. Well, listen, we're going to take a break from the dippers. I've done some pretty heavy topics so far. We did the Equivocation Nation, talking about Biden and national security and the inability to actually have a plan, and it leaves everything feeling unstable as he straddles all the fences he can possibly find. Then I talked about literally anti-Semitism and Kristallnacht in Germany 1938 and the fact that what we're seeing in today's society is some of the same indicators we saw leading up to Kristallnacht, and we can't have that in America. We can't. Then we had our Butters and Lee moment. Well, now we're going to take an aside right now and just going to go ahead and go down a road that is a whole lot more enjoyable to be on. Because in my opinion, the world of sports is one of the greatest retreats that we still have available to us in society. And somebody who knows sports probably better than anybody I know is Hannah Stevens, who used to be called the UA sign girl. She came to prominence as she was known for bringing her signs to University of Alabama football games, has a degree in sports journalism, wound up working for ESPN. And now she's on the air with us today. Hannah Stevens, how are you doing?
Well, I'm a lot better after that amazing introduction. How are you today?
Nobody introduces their friends like Phil Williams does. Nobody.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Well, hey, I got to thinking, you know what? We were overdue to have you on, and there have been a number of developments in sports world, some of which are, you know, deal with things that we care about, and some are just plain old sports. So, what do you see? Run the list with me. Where are we right now? What do you see as being the big stories right now?
Sure. So I think the biggest one to start with is obviously going to be Leah Thomas, right? I mean, that is probably the biggest news. And I think why it blows my mind so much is that this is even news to begin with. I mean, It is insane to me. A couple of things. We've talked about this before, and obviously you and I got to hear Riley Gaines earlier this year when she came to Madison, Alabama. But you know, it's insane to me that we're having to have a conversation where we're having to defend women and young girls who don't want men and boys to compete in their league, in their division. And to think that this is a conversation we're having is mind-blowing in and of itself, but it's obviously needing to be had.
Yeah.
And the news is that Leah Thomas, that he, I'm going to make that clear, tried to reverse a decision that said that he was not allowed to compete in the Olympics in the female division, right? In the women's division, tried to get it overturned, and they made it clear that, no, this is not going to happen. You're not going to compete as a woman. He is more than welcome to try and compete as a man, but we know that's not going to happen because he is not a good male swimmer. And that's what happens, Phil. I mean, I'll say this. You won't see a man try to compete with women who's a dominant man, who is actually winning in their male league, in their male division. You
Point.
Won't see that.
Yeah.
When you, the only types of men you see compete in women's sports are cowards and those who are horrible as a man competing as a man, right? So you're never going to see Steph Curry decide to become Stephanie Curry in the WNBA, right? You're never going to see that. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that this is where we are, but I'm glad that even on a level like the Olympics, where he is going to have to either choose to not swim or choose to swim as a man. It's a victory for women, but it's really just a start. And I think that, especially Riley Gaines, I mean, I think the next level should honestly be revoking any NCAA championship that may have been given to him. And, you know, a lot of people don't know the whole story that Riley and Leah tied. Leah did not win.
That's
Leah
right.
tied with Riley Gaines, and yet he was given her trophy. And so if anything needs to be done the next step, I think the NCAA is far more due. And the NCAA is a topic in and of itself because they're so flawed and skewed, and they are very reactive. They don't think things through, and this is another example of that, how they have yet to make things right with Riley. They've yet to make things right together and say, hey, if you are – a biological male, you have to compete as a biological male.
I
don't get to say,
I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish that sentence.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think that, too, I was actually kind of pleased with the Olympics because they're not always known for being conservative these days.
Exactly. You're right. Yeah, it was definitely a big win for women. And I think why you had this happen, and there are some countries that were going to protest if Leah was to swim, because this does not go on in other countries. You know, there are many countries who are, you know, there are a lot of things they're against, and it's even a scary situation how they treat people in those countries who would identify like Leah does.
Yeah, exactly.
But when you look at the Olympics and how they are a world organization, right, I mean, they have teams from all over the world compete. I mean, they're not willing to have teams protest coming to the Olympics because of this, because it's a money thing for them. You know, I mean, I like to think that it's morals and standards, and maybe for some of the people on the committee it is, but a lot of it comes down to money, and they know that teams are going to back out who this would not, that this would not sit well in their country. And they're not, you know, because some other countries will do a better job protecting their women than America does, because America's not done a very good job in protecting their women when it comes to sports and divisions. So they weren't willing to do that. And so for Riley and for all these other swimmers in the world, especially the young women that are, you know, middle school, high school, I mean, this is a big step in the right direction.
All right.
It's just now about time that the younger, the lower divisions, NCAA and high school levels, make the same standard.
No, totally agree. I agree. I think that's the top story. All right, what else you got on your list there? What's happening in the world of sports?
Let's talk Caitlin Clark for a minute.
Oh.
Because I think this is a topic that continues to get the wrong type of publicity. And I'll tell you why. Because people like to have a scapegoat. It makes people feel better when they can blame other people for their issues or their insecurities or whatever it may be. And Caitlin Clark is the WNBA scapegoat. That's just the bottom line. And I see a young lady who was given a platform and did her very best to do it in a very morally correct way, right? I mean, she does not fit the standard of the WNBA. You know, whether it's racially, whether it's sexually, she is not the norm in the WNBA.
Huh.
And because of that, she has become someone, and especially, you know, one of her big nemesis, Angel Reese from LSU, has continued to give her a hard time in the NBA. And it's just a shame because, you know, and I don't know why women are like this, Phil. I mean, I deal with this on a local level myself, too. I think it's so heartbreaking that women cannot support each other. It feels like they have to constantly compete with one another. And I think that Caitlin Clark has helped every single one of those women with their careers, with their NIL deals, with all these things, because she has brought viewership to the WNBA unlike ever before.
Yeah, and there's actual energy right now.
Exactly. And there are actually famous actors and actresses coming to these WNBA games that have said, I've never even been to a WNBA game. And so she's bringing this attention not on herself, but because of who she was in college, and now she's playing the next level. And the way she is being treated, and now they're trying to use her to say all these things, and other athletes are upset that she's not standing up for whatever. But it's not on her. It's not her responsibility what people on social media say. It's not her responsibility what media reporters write. It's her job to be a good basketball player, and she's done that. And I know that, you know, I'll be honest with you, I don't think it was a good choice for the Olympic team to choose her this year, because I think there's so much drama surrounding her that it actually was more protective of her not to make the team this year than to make the team, because I think that she needs more time to let things air out and calm down. And I think her being picked would have just added more fuel to the fire for her teammates and other people to not like her.
But she handled it really well. I think one of the things that's also part of the story here is the way she has handled the thuggery and the insults and the outright discriminatory behavior towards her has been a role model in itself. I mean, she was a role model before she got there, maybe even more so now because of the way she's handling the disparate treatment she's getting from these thugs in the WNBA.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's just a shame because, you know, this is not how the WNBA used to be. I mean, when I was a kid, I mean, one of my biggest role models was Lisa Leslie, who one of the best WNBA basketball players of all time, obviously played for the L.A. Sparks. I actually got to meet her when she came to Seattle when I was in high school. And, you know, she's a believer, and she was a mom, and she loves the Lord. And, you know, she was always in my FCA, Fellowship for Christian Athletes, you know, devotionals and testimonials that we did. And the way she conducted herself, even she was picked on. Even she was bullied because she was different. But people respected her because she was a baller. She could play. And it's just so unfortunate to see Caitlin Clark be bullied because she's good. And that just comes down to insecurities. And I think a lot of it comes down, Phil, to we have enabled this generation to they're more willing to be rude and hateful and spiteful to other people than they are to actually do the work on themselves to be a better version of themselves. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing people who need Jesus and who need help take it out on someone else because someone that has talent and skill sets that actually has morals and character, they don't like that. They're threatened by that. And so, anyway, that's my next thing I wanted to say is that, you know, Caitlin Clark is a baller. She's incredible. And, you know, I think that 5 or 10 years down the road, we're going to see just how amazing she is and how many eyes and how much viewership she brought to this league.
All right. Well, listen, that's a perfect segue for us to take a break right now. And as we head to the break, I'll just be honest with you, too, Hannah. I'll say it as the music's playing. I think part of the Caitlin Clark story is some coaches need to start providing leadership to their players. That's a big deal, too. All right, stand by. We'll come right back with more from Hannah Stevens doing a little Right Sports with us. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, giving you all the truth to put on the bumper stickers. All right, so let me go back to the phones right now. We're with Hannah Stevens, sports expert. So, Hannah, what else do you see out there in the world of sports that we need to be paying attention to?
Well, the biggest thing going on right now in college sports is obviously going to be the conference changes. The Pac-12 is no longer the Pac-12, which is mind-blowing to me. I mean, so if you had told me even 5 or 10 years ago that eventually there would be a massive change in conferences, I would have thought you were joking. I would have been like, there's no way. I mean, the Pac-12 is one of the most historically championship-driven conferences in the country. And for it to just vamoose, I can't believe it. But, no, I mean, it's insane to think, and it's going to be even more insane to see how this affects college sports in the future.
I think the realignment of the conferences and then the addition of the portal and the NIL, it's like the entire face of NCAA football is changing.
I know it's too much change at once. I mean, I was saying on a podcast on Wednesday, I'm like, listen, we haven't even figured out the correct way to deal with the transfer portal in the NIL. Are we really just willing to throw in the next, hey, now we're just not even, no one's really in the same conference anymore. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, because Notre Dame was always that program that kind of was like, you know what, I don't really care to be in a conference. I'm just going to do my thing. And people were okay with that. That was kind of the norm. We were used to Notre Dame just being out there. But then, well, you know, I mean, I knew it was kind of going downhill when we added Missouri into the SEC because, you know, I'm a big geography person, and I tend to believe that people, the conferences should just be where people are located, right?
Yes.
It just kind of makes sense. And then Mizzou gets in the picture, and you're like, that's a little odd. And then you hear news that Texas and then Oklahoma are joining the South, and you're like, and the SEC, and you're like, okay. But to have Stanford and Cal going to the ACC, I mean, you might as well just add Hawaii into the Big Ten. I mean, what is going on?
We got too many Tigers in the SEC. I mean, it's madness everywhere we look.
I know. It is. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And I'll say this. I mean, talking about college sports, I mean, what Oklahoma softball has done is an incredible feat. And, you know, I know that I've made some waves talking about what I said about Alabama softball, which I still stand by what I said. But for me, I mean, it's going to be a very interesting situation when you have Oklahoma and Texas now joining the SEC, and obviously Oklahoma's won the last 4 straight NCAA championships in softball. I mean, that's got to be a little scary for an Alabama football.
Okay, now wait a minute. You can't – we got 2 minutes left here, but you can't tease us with that thing I said about Alabama softball that made waves and not tell us what the waves were. So we got two minutes. What do you got?
Sure. The waves is that I said when Alabama lost in the Women's College World Series, obviously, I made the tweet, is it, you know, what changes need to be made? Is it time for Alabama to move on from Patrick Murphy? We haven't won a national championship in 12 years. Now, I don't doubt, I mean, let me say this. I'm not dissing or discrediting what Patrick Murphy has done to the University of Alabama in the softball program. He has been a fantastic role model. He has created a legacy for these softball players. But Alabama expects championships. And, you know, you can't give me another sport besides golf that either has not won a championship in 12 years or has not had a coaching change. And so, for me, that's something to ask. I mean, obviously, Alabama needs to hire a hitting coach. There are some other things that need to happen with getting power hitters and not just relying on small ball and slap hitters. But when you're also speaking, Alabama played the worst regular season in conference games that they have since, you know, the early 2000s. That's also something to realize that that's an issue, especially when Oklahoma and Texas are now joining the conference. So for me, you know, you've got to ask these questions. And if you're an Alabama fan, I mean, are you really just happy with making it to the Women's College World Series? I mean, yes.
And if you're
a defeat to make it.
And if you're an Auburn fan, then you're all about golf now. That's all I know. We're all about
exactly.
Golf.
Yes. But, I mean, that's legitimate. I mean, people are like, well, it's defeat making. And even Montana Fouts pitched in and said that. And I said, listen, if you're going to tell me that in 5 years, if Kalen DeBoer's only made the playoff and never actually won a championship, if you're telling me that no one's going to gun after his job and say we need a new head coach because of that, then you've lost your mind. So either Alabama fans are content making it just to the Women's College World Series, and if that's fine, that is what it is. But I seem to think that it's different for a program who has never won a championship to make it to the Women's College World Series versus a team who has shown they're capable of doing it but have not yet done it again. That, to me, says something's got to change. What that change is, I don't know, but obviously something's got to change.
Fair enough. All right, Hannah Stevens, you know things about sports I didn't even know existed. So we'll have you on again sometime soon. You have a great weekend in the meantime, all right?
You as well. Thank you so much.
All right, see ya. That I mean, she can label facts, figures, stats, and names of places, teams, and sports that I didn't know NCAA even had. I mean, it's kind of a hoot. But the way that's her thing, man. She knows sports like nobody I know.
Auburn's got a pretty good fishing team.
Auburn's got a fishing team. How do we get that gig? All right, you guys, stay tuned. We'll come right back. We're taking you all the way to go home time Friday afternoon on Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.